The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Lagos, Nigeria. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us, Lagos, on the show today, the very first edition of a morning crossfire for the new week. It's an 8th day of August, 2022. I'm Sheriff Quadri. You can watch us live right now on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3 on YouTube as well. You need to track our conversation as well by listening via website. If you are not where, you can use your radio. So you can tune in via the website, nigeriainfo.fm, and also share your thoughts on our website, chat room on the website, nigeriainfo.fm. Now, before we get into our main conversation for today, let's announce that the game, the hunt, is about to begin. To all my hunters, are you ready? Hunters, are you ready? Now, this is what you're looking for. It's quite easy and straightforward. Look, go and check out the picture of the Nigerian women's 4x100 meters relay team that won gold at the Commonwealth Games yesterday. Their picture, the four of them, that's what you're looking for. Once you can find it, click on it, a window will pop up, fill in your details, and then submit. Now, everybody is going to get a congratulatory message. Yes, you will get it. But who complete this the fastest would be the one to win 5,000 naira on the morning crossfire. Okay, best of luck to all the hunters. Best of luck. All right, this game will be played across all our shows as well. So yeah, if you didn't get a win on the morning crossfire, you can win again at on other shows. All righty, now let's begin. Nigeria is 6 months away from the 2023 general elections. I know that you have high hopes. People are looking for a better Nigeria after the election. Now, against a better Nigeria, some of the issues on the front burner that Nigerians are battling right now, you can name them. Maybe your fingers will not be enough. Well, let's try. Security, economy, ASUU strike. Okay, let's stop at ASUU. Now, who among the presidential candidates eyeing the highest seat in the country do you think have what it takes to rescue the country out of its current situation? All of them will tell you their plans. Definitely, yes. Do you know their plans? Maybe. Or maybe a majority just don't know. Has any of these candidates laid out credible plans to tackle the insecurity that is bedeviling the country? Now, the killings by suspected herdsmen in the north, the suspected militants of the separatist indigenous people of Biafra in the east, the indiscriminate killings in the south, the kidnappings everywhere. At least that one is common to everybody. Now, while showcasing the achievement of President Muhammadu Buhari's administration in December 2021, it was during a media briefing in Lagos, the Minister of Information and Culture, Lai Muhammad, said, and I quote now, "Our biggest challenge in the outgoing year was in the area of insecurity. Despite the enormity of the challenge, our military has continued to live up to its billings." He also said, "In spite of this and the usual economic challenges, especially the dwindling resources available to the government, the administration has availed itself creditably." Is that true, though? Look at where we are right now. So I have a very vast commentator on the show today, Professor Chris Mokobia Mustafa, joins me via the telephone all the way from Abuja this morning, and we'll try and dissect all of these issues. Professor Chris, thank you for joining us this morning. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Good morning, my brother, and good morning to listeners. Good morning to Nigerians everywhere.
I'm going to start with what dominated our discussion this morning on the show, and that is the planned impeachment of the president. What's your take about this? The lawmakers are not backing down.
Let me say very clearly as we begin that what the National Assembly has decided to do, albeit late, but it's better late than never, and that's my major take on it. I think that with human barbecues everywhere, with banditry, villainy, and terror, if you like, becoming the order of the day, the major reason for which governments exist have been left unattended, which is the security of lives and properties. So with this kind of reality, National Assembly obviously has but to call the president to tax, put him on his toes, query what he's doing with respect to lives and properties. And if they consider the impeachment the most opposite, the most appropriate, mm-hmm. and the most profound way to go, why not? I think that the time has come for us to begin to look at how things affect Nigerians without being overtly partisan. Mm-hmm. You know, the tragedy of our nation is the fact that we have always assessed and underscored protocols in governance from either ethnic or partisan embers. But right. the time has come right. for us to realize that security of lives and properties is a major... If we're not alive and safe, mm-hmm. how do we profess either a membership of the PDP, the APC, the Labour Party, and what have you? I think that the time has come for us to unanimously aggregate at that parlor mm-hmm. where we'll call the parlor's attention to national security a major challenge, and that's the way to go. Mm-hmm. So the National Assembly can jolly well go ahead and do what they have to do. But for me, the major challenge, and if you like, the way to assess this government and reposition our country is to work right. towards what we have on our hands, a ballot-based revolution that is building and sweeping through our land. The government has less than a year to go, so we must channel our energy to what I call giving vent and force to the ballot-based revolution that is sweeping through our land. There's a sweltering hamatan of this content. Nigerians are saying no, never ever again. And so I think that that's what we must begin to push rather than just... applaud the National Assembly that has just woken up, albeit very late, to their responsibilities as checks on the excesses of the executive.
Indeed, Professor Chris. Let's also go talk about what the governors put out some recommendations over the weekend. They put about 33 recommendations to President Muhammadu Buhari. To them, they think that Nigeria is on that brink, at the precipice of great tragedy, and they're saying that if we must survive this, there are some certain things that the president must put in motion. I'm just going to touch on two of those things. First is that they are advising that under recovery or subsidy, whatever name that they call it now, must end. That's first. Then secondly, that you're going to touch on, is that they're also advising that government lay off civil servants who are 50 years and above and employ younger, civil servants who are more ICT compliant, and most of them should be women. Let's start from the subsidy removal or under recovery, whatever it is they call it.
I want to realistically assess these two basic demands and normative. When I say this advisedly, it would have been easy for this government to subsidy had they been forthright, sincere, and truthful. And if they meant well, the first year or two of this administration, when its popularity was still at the apogee, this government would have been able to deal with issues of under recovery and subsidy. But as it is with Nigerian politicians, you say one thing and then you mouth one thing and then do the other. And that's the tragedy of our nation. And my mentor, Martin Luther King Jr., once challenged America. He said, we must be true to what we say on paper. Sadly, very unfortunately, and largely, if you like, the APC administration have been very untrue to what they say on paper. And that is why when they promised, and remember when we campaigned, and I am partly guilty in this whole thing, because in 2014, 2015, we made promises to the Nigerian people. And then in that campaign, we told Nigerians that subsidy was a scam. And that once President Muhammad Buhari becomes president, he will deal with it decisively. We told Nigerians that the issues of national security will be dealt with. We told Nigerians that our economy will be improved upon. and that we're going to fight corruption on these major platforms. Right. The Nigerian people are giving power to the APC. Sadly, very sadly, very unfortunately, these things have been left unattended. And that was why in 2017,
yeah,
2 years after this administration got into power, I stepped away from the party. I only got back last year because I thought that there was a sweltering challenge in the move in the party to position and give power to the young people. That's going to take me to the second part of your question. But let me say here that the governor's demand that subsidy be removed is going to be very difficult now. Because even as you and I talk, there are fuel queues everywhere in Abuja. There are still fuel queues in some parts of the country. Because those who are importing these products are saying that the cost of arrival and the cost of sales are unrealistic. And the Nigerian people are also saying that there's so much poverty in the land. Look at these denominators.
Yeah.
There's poverty on the one hand, extreme poverty, if you like.
There's
inflation. And subsidy at this point.
Oh no.
You know, whatever subsidy, it has become a part of that industry, the oil sector. And so until, and I'm going to say this, the only government that can effectively successfully, and I'm being realistic here, remove subsidy is the next administration. That is, if it rises to power on a popular mantra, on a popular followership. It's a ballot-based revolution that can save this country. Because the truth is that if you say in the next few months that you're going to remove subsidy, what we bring to you is very convincing. You don't increase hunger. You don't increase price when there's no food. You don't increase. So it's a tragedy.
Professor Chris, let's try and call you back. I know that you can't hear me, but the network has really, really been terrible. Please, let's call Professor Chris back so we can get him back on the show, okay? Thank you. I mean, he was making some points as to the reason subsidy cannot be removed at this point in time. And I'm wondering whether you agree with him, right? Sooner or later. Remember, when Jonathan government wanted to remove this subsidy, I mean, he wanted to do it. But then again, you know, Ojata, yeah, you know the story, right? Now we're back here again. Whether we're ever going to leave this spot is another question entirely. 6 to 7 trillion naira to be paid on subsidy. Come on. I personally don't think we can afford that, really. And then I understand also, on the other hand, the sentiment from the masses. They think that this is the only good thing the government, they can benefit from the government. So, lack of trust between the leaders and the led is, could be partly responsible for where we are right now today. How do we now scale this hurdle? Professor Chris rejoins us right now. Professor Chris Nwokobia, thank you again for rejoining us. It was a we had a network shutdown while you were speaking. You were talking about how it can be difficult to remove subsidy right now. Please go on. Please go on, sir. Are you with me? Hello, Professor Chris. I can't hear you. I can see that you're here. Oh, yeah. He couldn't hear me as well. I'm sure he was saying hello. He couldn't hear me. Please, let's reach out to him again and get him back on the line, because this discussion, it must happen. Now, like I said, we're going to talk about the other issues as regards insecurity. We're going to look at the performance or the expected performance of some major presidential candidate like Kwankwaso, Peter Obi, Atiku Abubakar, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, Dumebi Kachiku. There are many of them, the presidential candidates. You have this individual as well, Ibrahim Abdul Malik of the Young Progressives Party is also there in the midst. You have Johnson Oladipupo Yabagi, Sonny of the Action Democratic Congress. Johnson Oladipo is the running mate to Kwankwaso, by the way, the NNPP candidate, right? Okay. Yabagi Sonny is the presidential candidate of the Action Democratic Party, ADP. All of these major candidates will try and look at who amongst them can shoulder the responsibility of getting Nigeria out of this current situation that we are in. Right now, we have other presidential candidates such as Omorode Sowore of the Action African Action Congress AAC. We also have the Allied People's Movement, who is, of course, Mamman Dantele. Mm-hmm. He's the presidential candidate of the Allied People's Movement. We also have Chikwudi Umeadi. He's the presidential candidate of the All Progressives Grand Alliance, APGA. And quite a host of them. Let's bring in Professor Christian Okobia Mustafa on the show again. Prof, are you with us now?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. You were making a point on the subsidy removal before the network came in.
Yes, I was saying that what we must do as a people is to be very realistic as to how this can happen. You need a government that has the belief and the faith, and if you like, the support of the people to do that. Because the truth is that we must end the subsidy regime.
Okay.
It's a facade. I still insist that most of it is a scam. Mm. And we all know that it is. But the big businesses and the big individuals who are grossly unpatriotic, who have refused to fix, if you like, our refineries or barter our crude for refined products and would rather pay trillions of naira as under recoveries, when they, it's only when they are eased out of power through a ballot-based peaceful revolution that we can reposition our country,
right,
and then we can take out or remove subsidy. Until that is done, with this same governor, some of them are part of the business.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I think that they are all they are trying to do is shore up their public rating, put the whole blames on the president, who has largely been away from the realities of state. And I'm using these words advisedly. He's either not very aware, he's either waiting to be informed.
Okay.
You know, there are a whole lot of things happening, absence at the level of leadership. But what we must do is insist and continue to nudge and urge what has become a ballot-based revolution building in our land. And then the second leg, which of course is important,
right,
is the need for them to be very realistic about the demands. If you want to retire every civil servant from the age of 50 and above and then employ young people,
right,
it is in tandem with the sweltering Hamatan, like I noted, in the land. The young people want to get jobs. Young people want to be employed. Young people want to take back their country and fix their country.
Right.
But you can't throw the baby away with the bathwater. If you're going to retire somebody at 50, he's in the middle ages. It will be largely unfair. It doesn't happen anywhere in the world. But I know that part of this challenge is because our economy is basically comatose. There's hunger in the land, and so they want to create jobs for the younger people. But are you going to do that at the detriment,
Prof,
of people who legitimately should be in service?
Prof, let's take a quick break, just short one. Then we'll come back and wrap up on this mass sack proposal. Stay with us, please.
Nigeria Evo,
the hub for information,
current affairs and more.
Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the second part of the show, the Morning Crossfire with Sheriff. Professor Chris Mustafa Okobia joins us all the way from Abuja this morning on the telephone. You can be a part of our conversation right now by joining, call our lines, or sending your thoughts via our live streams on Facebook and on YouTube. WhatsApp is also available for you to, you know, share your thought. Professor Chris, thank you again for owning the line. Now let's bring this home on the proposed mass sack of civil servants who are 50 years and above. You were saying?
Yeah, I was saying that it's a bit...
Oh, no.
Yeah, because largely the governors are thinking and interested in ensuring that they cut the cost of governance and then bringing young people into the civil service and create jobs. But let me say that that is between the rock and the high hard place. Because you cannot retire people who are legitimately in service before the constitutional or legitimate
retirement age.
They will sue you. You will have a plethora of cases in court, except you go to the National Assembly and begin a process to rework the law. The law says that the person has to have 60 years or have put in
35
years of service or so.
Right.
So you cannot just wake up and change all this. I think that these governors are trying to, in salvaging what is left of a failed government, they want to shore up their own public rating.
Okay.
And then heap the whole of a failure on a largely uneventful presidency. But what we must do is understanding that the times for the lifespan of this administration is almost gone. We must see through this problem.
Okay.
If you remove subsidy now, NLC and TUC, Labour will react. Because, and rightfully so. You don't increase my hardship because you want to raise money. No, you can't. So they will legitimately engage government. That will become a precursor to anarchy. If you sack workers, that will create another problem. And then we have an election barely about 6 months from now. Just watch what I'm saying, Audrey.
Right.
As we deal with these issues, we must be very careful not to cause an implosion in this country, because that becomes a legitimate ground upon which the government will say, we can't conduct election, and it's constitutional. They will tell you there's anarchy, there's crisis, there's problem in the land.
You think that could be the plan?
We must be careful as the people. I do not think that the governors waking from their slumber so late in the day, the National Assembly waking from their slumber so late in the day, I smell a rat. And I'm telling you this because across our country, they know that there is a massive movement in Nigeria today, and which is saying no to the APC and no to the PDP. So I think that they are up to something.
Okay.
What we must begin to do, and consistently so, is to engage the Nigerian people and ensure that come May 29th, 2023, we have a new government that cares about this country and about our people. You know, to begin to politic at the 11th hour, you know, smells a rat. I do sincerely think that the time has come for us to be proactive, frontal, profuse in our debates regarding our country, because you don't wait after more than 7 years into an administration.
Right.
You're now waking up to such deep responsibility. Why didn't you talk about, why didn't the governor support and mobilize for the removal of subsidy in 2015, 2016, 2017, 2019, 2020, 2021, and now 2022, they're telling us that, oh, they must do this within the next few... No. We're not children in this country. We will interrogate every step of the political class. We will insist on a brand new country. We will take back our country for good. And we'll hand over Nigeria to a watchman who is passionate, who is committed to growing the economy, who is committed to cutting the cost of governance. Let me give you a practical instance.
Please do.
You want to reduce the civil service, you want to sack some people and employ young people. Have you cut down the cost of governance? What is the convoy of a governor? How much does it take home? How much does the House of Assembly take home? How much does the National Assembly take home? How much do they take a security vote? Have they sliced them? When Peter Obi talks about that, people will say, oh, he's Mr. Statistics. He didn't do that. And he's saying that government, the cost of government when it comes to power. That's what you do first. You don't take, the most expensive National Assembly in the world, and a few months at the end of administration, they are threatening the president with impeachment. Oh, come on. He was one of the greatest poets of all time, Sir Walter Scott, who said, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. The political class deals mendacity, the trade perfidy, they swim in deceit, and they live in hubris. That's exactly what we have in our country. And the Nigerian people are saying, never, ever again. We need a brand new system. We want to cleanse the origins table. We want a new thinking and leadership.
Right.
And all this about painting a cancerous face, powdering an acne ruptured face, wouldn't save us. Nigerians are clear-headed. And they're saying, we want a new deal. And the new Nigeria is...
Professor Chris, in all the candidates that we have brought to the table this morning, if I may say, it's only Atiku Abubakar that has been in the presidency before, because I'm referring to the word that you use, a brand new, you know, Nigeria. I mean, the others have tested government at one form or the other before. Not really all of them. There are other some. That haven't even tested government at all. But in all of the major candidates that you're talking about, right now our economy is in God knows where it is. You and I know that it's not in a good place right now, our economy. Out of the candidates that we have, only about one of them, who is, of course, Peter Obi, the rest haven't really said much about their plans. So it'll be very difficult to, reference, their plan. But with what you have, you've been in this space for quite some time now. With what you know of Atiku Abubakar, what you know of Bola Tinubu, what you know of Kwankwaso, what you know of Peter Obi, and the rest of them like that, who would you rather Nigerians look at more critically as to their plans to revive the economy? Because right now, we need somebody that would save us, because the economy is nosediving. There's no gainsaying that. Everybody knows that. We're borrowing to pay our debts, which is suicidal, if you ask me. So who amongst these people would you say that Nigerians should pay, not to vote for, because we can't campaign for anybody, just to pay closer attention to?
Let me say that Nigerians in so many ways have spoken out. They know that we need prudence rather than profligacy. They know that we need a frugal president who will save the little resources that we have and grow the economy. They know that we need a new order and leadership where the convoy of the president does not have as much as 40, 50 cars, where we do not buy foreign-made vehicles to put in the convoy of the president. They know that we need a new orientation and leadership. And one candidate clearly speaks to these issues. You mentioned his name. Because it is not time to begin to campaign profusely and profoundly, I would say that Nigerians know who is saying that a new dispensation and leadership must be etched on our collective canvas. I know that Nigerians know who is saying that we must save for the rainy day. I know that Nigerians know who is saying that we must grow education and spend our monies wisely. I know that Nigerians know that there is a candidate who is saying that the time for a new regime in leadership, a time for leadership, a time for leadership is now. And the obedient movement is a sweltering hamatan. You know them. Mm-hmm. We know them. The other candidates know them. You know,
I'm so sorry.
Achieve commitment of the Nigerian young people, the middle ages, to take back their country. It's rescue Nigeria time. It's a new deal for our country. And God willing, when the campaign effectively begins in September, we shall come to the Nigerian people with profound, achievable projects, blueprint, and Nigerians would hold the next government responsible for whatever promises it makes. It will no longer be all promises cancelled, APC. It will no longer be People's Destruction Party, the PDP. It will be a new republic. a new dispensation in leadership.
Prof, let's not
jangling this code of poverty and disease.
Prof,
the amazing place.
Prof, let's desist from talking down on other parties, so that we can have a very fair and balanced conversation. Okay. In the meantime, let's take some calls this morning to join our conversation. 0700 993 993 993, and for the ladies it's 0146571190. Like I said earlier, this conversation is just is not going to be one-off. We're gonna have the same conversations with other, you know, political stalwarts across, you know, party lines, and would have them speak to, you know, everything that we've touched this morning on the program. Please turn off your radio if you're calling me. Okay, Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello.
Good morning. Yes, please.
This is Joy calling.
Talk to me quickly.
My question this morning: those who gather in Ojota, where are they? Why can't they gather since this government enter and begin to increase everything in this country? Even poor man, rich man cannot even eat the way they used to eat before they come into power. And again, Nigeria, please shine your eye. Thank you.
Thank you, Joy, for calling. Let's take another call quickly. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, my story is this. You see, the whole Nigerians, everybody know the right and good. You understand?
Mm.
So now, voting or no voting, what me want in this country is that APC and PDP should go away. Let them go away.
Okay.
Because they have finished this country. Somebody that suck breath well no say that he can't vote for these two parties. They have spoiled this country. Look at the life you are living. Hungry everywhere. As I did, so I know well. I know if you see money
for
hospital.
Sorry. Thank you for calling me. Wale is on the line. Wale, hi. Yeah. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I think what we mentioned, the aspirants, we always forget to mention the Shuwore.
Wale Shuwore, okay.
And have been giving us since 2019, giving us solutions to some of these problems. But we, social media,
Why do you think so? Why do you think he is often neglected when conversations start?
You say what?
Why do you think he's often forgotten?
You are just telling me that.
You said what?
You are to tell me that.
No, I'm asking you because you raised it. I can't tell you.
He's always on the media, on the news, but you people always neglect him.
No, so
he's
that's...
basically on the three other aspirants.
Why don't you talk about him, you as a person? Why?
That's why I'm bringing it up now.
Oh, okay. All right. I hear you. Is there anything you'd like to add? Would you like to add anything?
That's just it. If you have to balance these things, let's endeavor to put everybody on the table.
But didn't you hear me when I mentioned his name earlier?
I didn't hear that.
Oh, okay. But because I did, actually.
I didn't hear it.
Oh, yeah. I did. You missed out on it. But thanks for calling me, though. I appreciate it. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, please.
Yeah, Diopa, good morning, sir.
Please go on,
for
please.
For me, the three major candidates, I think the ball is in our court. But one pain I'm having is that Nigerians doesn't learn lessons. Because if you listen to some of us, they are still leaning to that party that put us in this quagmire. That is my pain. We never learn our lessons. Thank you, Chief Fodrick.
Thank you, too, for calling me. Appreciate it. Let's take another call before I go back to my guest. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Very well, thank you.
Okay. Come for this government now. You know, say before, there's way they change Jonathan. Give Buhari. So when they can't change from Jonathan to Buhari, say Jonathan corrupt is too much. This one has sheep. I come for this one now. Why they are complaining? Therefore, not they complain because now they stand for that man when he enter. We know if they see good thing where the Nigeria for benefit,
right.
But then we we'll turn it around, begin to give them bad name. But this government, it teach Nigeria a lesson. Because Nigeria know they remember yesterday. Now today, then they know. So God bless you.
What a point, what a point. Nigerians only live in the now. Prof, did you get that? As we leave the studio this morning, Prof, let me ask you my final question. You've obviously said a lot about Peter Obi and the movement around town and all of that. But let's track back to 2015. It looked similar. It looked like the same desperation that we had in 2015. It looked like, the same hunger that we had in 2015 to switch government. We really can't be bothered. We just want to, let go. We just want to move away from the current government. That seemed to be our pattern. That seemed to be the way we think. That seemed to be the way we approach election. Who is to say that the movement, the Peter Obi movement, is the messiah for the country's situations right now? Who is to say that Wole Soyore, for instance, is not the messiah? Who is to say that Kwankwaso, for instance, is not the messiah? Or Bola Tinubu is not the messiah? Or Atiku Abubakar is not the messiah? Or Dumebi Kachiku is not the messiah? But it seems that we just move with the tide. We have this bandwagon mentality. And the country, once we're desperate, anybody can sway us. Is that not the same? Are we not planning to make the same mistake we made in 2015?
So, yes, let me say that one of the reasons that makes me proud to be a Nigerian, I have to say that.
Oh, wow. Wow. Bad connection.
That was what happened in 2012 when Nigerians stepped out to Ojota. I'm trying to take along the calls.
Okay.
They stepped out in Ojota and they said no to the removal of fuel subsidy then, because we were in Ojota. I addressed the protest several times with Pastor Tunde Bukari, even my friend and brother Festus Keyamo, and several other people who were there. We said no to several of the normative of the government of that day. In 2014, 2015,
yeah.
We joined hands with the Buhari movement to change the government of that day. Nigerians are deeply angry about what happened because after 7 years, the Buhari administration is still blaming the past.
Who is to say that we're not about to make the same mistake now?
No, that's why I'm coming. Nigerians are now saying that away from the two parties that are called the Behemoth and the Leviathan, for purposes of your caution, I will call their names. Nigerians know them. You know, the Leviathan and the Behemoth brought us to where we are. You know, we have had close to 60 months of ASU strike between the PDP and the APC. The APC 29 months.
Oh, no.
Now, Nigerians want something different. We're not going to make the same mistake because whoever is going to come to power in 2023 knows that Nigerians will be impatient with failure, impatient with bad leadership, and that there's a growing and a sweltering hamatan in this land that is saying that things will be done differently. You know, I jokingly tell people that we have children of anger who are disappointed and offended by failure of successive administrations. And they are the ones who are saying, haven't you heard them? They're saying to people, you can't fail. We'll whip you into line. They're saying that there's a new tendency. We will interrogate governments with vehemence. We will not cower down.
Prof,
remember what happened during the NSAS.
Prof,
sometimes I tell people, this is the NSAS generation.
Prof, can you hear me?
We can't take them for granted.
Right. Let's leave it here, Prof. Would have you back some other time. At that time, we'll bring in the studio compatriots from other political parties so we can have these robust debates that has emerged from our conversation this morning. Prof, thank you so much for joining us on The Crossfire today. All right, there you go, Professor Chris Mustafa Mokovia, who joined us from Abuja this morning. Yep, that's our show. Tomorrow, we'll be having another conversation. Like I said, this is not going to be one-off. Tomorrow, we'll be having the second part of this conversation. We'll bring stalwart of some of the political parties on the show, and we'll have this conversation over again. Then next week, we'll talk about the proposals put forward by the state government. We started this at 5 a.m. today. Is it going to develop more, even bigger than what you spoke about today? So the whole of the entire week of next week, we dedicated to unpacking those recommendations by the state governors. All righty. So that's our show. But before I go, let me announce the winner of the treasure hunt for today. Hunters, are you ready? Ahoo! 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 I've watched too much epic movies. If your name is Temi Bamishevi, you are the winner! 5,000 Naira is all yours. Our fastest hunter today on the show, Temi Bamishevi. Congratulations to you. You get paid soon. I'm Sheriff Quadri on Twitter, Sheriff Quadri. On Instagram, Sheriff Quadri. On LinkedIn, it's Sheriff Quadri as well. Facebook page is Sheriff Quadri. I'll see you tomorrow at 5. The news is next at the top of the hour, followed by Table Talk with Wemi Moadewuni. Good morning to you.
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea attacking with so much fluidity. Now what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not